I'll just throw it in there because Coxie needs a haircut and I can give you the dates and that, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there you go.
Oh, David, mind you email the start and the finish. Who's doing that this week then?
I think it might be the turn of Coxie.
Okay, and I'm saying what David, what am I saying?
It's emails, I've just found it.
Matt doesn't read my emails.
I do read your emails,
David,
but
come
things.
On. David, we've talked about this. Don't take it so hard.
It's really the outro that's more complicated.
Yeah, but let's not do
baby
that.
Baby steps, baby steps. Nice. Okay, I'll go then. Hello, welcome to Three Down, One Across. This week's episode, Summertime Blues.
Last week there would have been Glastonbury, and obviously I'm more of a rock fan, I'm more of a download kind of guy, but a lot of folk are missing out in Glastonbury, and I think it's an anniversary, I think it's their 50th anniversary. Dave, you fact check that and I'll torture hoos.
50 years, spot on.
I just wondering what everybody's missing out on, and you know that other stat that people never actually go and reclaim their money? Doesn't matter if it's cancelled, there'll still be people making money off it at some point, you know what I mean?
You're clicking a pen, Paul.
I am, sorry.
But folk are not going to really miss out in Glastonbury. There'll be folk just camping at the back.
Find a muddy spot, pee in your own tent, and that's probably, that'll get the vibe.
I'll be it.
Get some neighbours into your garden to camp with you.
Mm-hmm. Nothing in this earth would bring me to a music festival if I thought it could rain or if I had to use a toilet that was a cubicle.
No, I think it's with my lockdown 50th having passed, so has the rock festival. Unless, of course, I'm side stage at Motorhead in front of 120,000 people. That was quite good. What's been your best gig so far?
Well, it's not really Glastonbury, is it? For me, I'm probably Willie Nelson at the concert hall.
Yes!
Ron Sexsmith at King Tut's Pow Pow. I used to love going to see lots of stuff at the Barland back in the day as well. I loved that.
The most exciting thing that ever happened to me, right? I think it was 1984, and it was me and my pal Karen. We went to see Wham. So Karen was always like very beautiful, very blonde, very, you know, and I was always ordinary with my braces and my teeth. And
the waltzers, we've been.
That was awful ordinary. And I remember, so everybody was getting crushed at the front, and she got carried out, and she got to sit where she could see the band, and they gave her a fan, and somebody threw a bucket of water over me, like a dog in heat. It's a terrible thing. But at the end, we stayed, right? And we waited and waited and waited. And George Michael and Andrew Lilley walked past us. And wait for this. They waved. Cool. And I truly believed that George and I would one day meet and we would fall in love. And it would just... I know, it's ridiculous.
Well, David, what about you?
You're going to be surprised. Carmina Burana was the one I enjoyed most. And
her with the fruit in her hair,
aye. And I went to the premiere of Dave Brubeck's Requiem. I played in a lot of rock gigs.
Yes, of course.
I was in a band called Graveside Stones, and we generally were. We played the Castle Sands in St Andrews on the rock promontory. I had this lovely Fender fretless bass.
Oh, sweet.
Someone was trying to climb up onto the rock, and I used it to swing across his head.
Oh,
put it back on, and it was still in tune.
Brilliant.
But I can't think of anything worse. I can. Obviously, there's things like being tortured by spies, but anything worse than being at a rock gig. It's good fun playing. It's too loud. I don't like crowds of people. It's just a nightmare for me.
One of my best gigs was Simon and Garfunkel in Rome.
Nice.
Right? Wow.
And the council, imagine Glasgow City Council doing this, the council every year arrange a free concert for everybody in Rome. And it's the big road that leads up to the Colosseum, and the stage is right in front of the Colosseum.
Via Foro.
And there you go. Thank you, David. And there was 750,000 people at it.
Brilliant.
And it was absolutely brilliant. So that was ticked off the list right away. 2004, I think it was.
It's a different kind of vibe in Italy with that kind of stuff with music. Like councils doing free gigs. Happens a lot of time. It happens in France as well. A lot of Jars concerts, open air concerts are free. And the difference in Italy, opera's cheap to go to because it's music and it's from the soul and it's a love of music. It's not a love of saying, I read Shakespeare and go to opera. In Italy, it's art. You know, and it's open to everybody.
That's fair news, isn't it?
David, knowing that you love Dave Brubeck, this was a beautiful thing. It was a piece of art. I did a contemporary dance piece at the Glasgow Garden Festival to Dave Brubeck's music. The teacher was daft for it, and she made me do it. And it was like probably the most humiliating thing I've ever done in my entire life.
No, you've probably done much.
Come on now, Jane.
That's true.
I remember you in rehearsals running around throwing red ribbon out from your belly, shouting, "Please don't make me do this."
Yes, that's true. What's the question, Mark? Don't keep us in the
dark. What's the question, Mark? That brings me then to the question. Of the week, which is strangely associated with this topic in many ways. I was talking about the theatre capacity of Glasgow. Mm-hmm. Looking at that. So the question was, on a Friday night in Glasgow, any given Friday night, the capacity, including the hydro, etc., 24,000 people. 10% of those 24,000 people never see the full show for various reasons. Drunk, some are bored, some fall out with their partners or other people's partners and leave. Also, there's another 4% who don't even make it to the venues due to the vehicles that they're travelling in and breaking down or being stolen.
That's crazy.
14% of 24,000. How many people actually make it to the theatre? They might not like it, but how many of them actually get through the whole show?
3rd of July, Scotland moves into the next phase. 4th of July, England just disintegrates into a second wave of COVID as everyone can go and do everything at the same time.
Exactly.
Are you planning on heading off anywhere?
Well, I've been hearing good things about the drive-through Starbucks in Hamilton. Yes.
What about things like camping? Because if you've got your own wee tent, that's you, you're sorted, but then you'd have to share a toilet block. My boy was going camping last year and he was going to climb the cobbler, and I said to him, "Now, Ian, I don't want you threading the needle." I said, because, you know, just be careful. That's all I'm saying. And he went, "Mum, we're not even going to be meeting up with girls." I said, "No, darling, I thread the needle, it's a bit of the top of the cobbler. It's a dangerous bit that you climb." Just shook his head. But I don't know, see, again, the camping things are just a wee bit too much like going to a festival for me.
I tell you what I'm planning on doing. It's been a fascination for me, and I've already nearly done it. Loudoun Castle.
Loudoun Castle,
I love that.
Aye.
Well, I've been in that. Yeah, that's what I do now. I'm a graveyard fun fair hunter. That's what I do.
Nice.
I
go there. Scooby-Doo.
I find it absolutely beyond creepy at an abandoned fun fair. Memondies was quite, I can't say that. I find them very, very creepy. Something about them is just, whoa.
I always used to think that when Michael Jackson would take kids to his theme park and it was just them.
We now know that was very creepy.
That's a matter of fact, Jean.
About as creepy as it gets.
I've actually booked my haircut.
Nice.
I sent her the photographs, and she said to me, "I might have to do that in installments."
I think you're looking good.
Thanks.
Are you that Gerard Butler look about you today?
I think my best hairdressing investment was getting a set of shears from the hairdresser supply shop.
Salon Services.
Salon Services.
How can it be that the two baldiest guys in the podcast know about Salon Services?
Years ago, I went in when straighteners first came out, and I went into Salon Services, and I was trying to buy them, and the woman went, "Is that for your cell?" And I went, "Aye." She went, "I'm in the base, my money hen."
Hey! Dave.
Hello.
How about, it's just a crazy idea. Why don't you spin the wheel of where we're no going?
Here we go.
It's Glasgow.
In the second city of the Empire, Mother Glasgow watches all her wains. We're in the city of Glasgow, we're at the King's Theatre, Glasgow.
We're in Glasgow. Happy days, everybody. Yes, on the 26th of April 2021, we're going to be at the King's Theatre in Glasgow, myself, Jean and Mark, with our show Still Gone. We'll be talking about the show and also taking questions from the audience. It'll be a rare tear, a good night out is what it'll be.
So nice.
And so I think without further ado, I'm going to give you some facts about the city of Glasgow.
Well, we'll play a wee sting for that.
Okie doke. Glasgow, right? Population 1127825. There you go. That was Fast and Furious. Glasgow used to have a cable car. Does anybody know where it was?
The West End somewhere.
Close, Mark. You're getting warm. So in 1911, the Scottish Exhibition took place in Glasgow.
Ah, of course.
And they erected a cable car between the two museums, and it went right over the River Kelvin to the Hunterian in Glasgow University and straight back to the Kelvin Grove Museum. And there's photographic evidence of that. And I, for one, would love to see that back. I think that'd be a lovely thing for the tourists.
Seeing that and seeing some trams back and the proper underground actually went more than just a big circle.
Aye, that would be awesome, eh?
I love the Hunterian Museum as well. Anybody been into that?
Aye.
One of the oldest museums, isn't it, in the world?
Mm-hmm.
He was going to fact check
The Hunterian.
Hunterian Museum at Glasgow University.
Okay. Fact check!
Founded in 1807, the Hunterian is Scotland's oldest public museum. The oldest museum in the world was the Enniganagher Museum, dating from 530 BC. The oldest public museums in the world are the Capitoline Museums in Rome, whose public collections began in 1471.
So, you've got the statue with the cone that we all know about, very famous.
Yes.
Who is that?
Of Wellington.
Yes, it is. £10,000 a year Glasgow City Council spent trying to remove the cone from its head, from the head of Duke of Wellington.
And it's now a landmark.
Yes, it is. So they fought for many years to try to do that. Then they tried to raise the plinth. Then they were going to spend an absolute fortune making the statue so high that nobody could put the cone on it. And then they were going to put some detectors on it so that you would just detect if a cone was placed in its head. But it was going to cost so much money that they've abandoned it. And now they've got a black cone on its head with Black Lives Matter.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
And I'll tell you this last fact. On Lonely Planet, it's one of the most bizarre monuments in the world.
Based on what? Because it's got a plastic cone on its head. That lowers the bar for what makes a bizarre monument, doesn't it?
If Lonely Planet said it, it must be true.
It must be true.
Must be.
Cathcart Cemetery.
I was just about to mention that, David. That's weird. Carry on.
There was a family went to visit a grave and it was quite foggy. And out of the fog, this man appeared, top hat, like a funeral director from bygone days.
From the past.
And from the past, yes. And the driver slams on the brakes, jumps out the car, nobody there.
Oh.
Now, a couple of days later, one of the younger people in the car went back to the cemetery and it was a bright sunny day. There was no one else there. All the birds stopped singing. And he heard a voice distinctly say, "We're over here."
Do you know who's buried in that cemetery?
Lots of folk.
Yes, lots of folk, David. Stan
Laurel's mum.
Mother!
I'll tell you who else.
Who else, Paul?
Buried there is the King's Theatre ghost. It's a very sad story, this, folks, and fairly gory, if truth be told. This is the story of Stephen Stookey Roy. He was 16 years of age, and the year is 1948, and he's just started his apprenticeship at the Glasgow Kings with the stage crew. His very first day, a stage weight fell on his arm and broke his wrist. And that's why he got the nickname Stookey. Okay? So the other crew felt sorry for him, and at the end of the first month, he got his first pay packet, and all the crew surrounded him on the stage, and they all clapped him through as he opened his ceremonial first wage packet. However, he was emergency taxed.
Oh,
oh no.
Exactly. And the shock took him so hard, it took him backwards into the orchestra pit.
Oh.
And he bounced on a timpani drum and then straight back up into the air and was impaled on a hi-hat spike.
Oh, dear.
And that was the end of Stephen Stookey Roy. And he's buried in Cathcart Cemetery, where his headstone reads, "Stookey, always ready to take chance. Stookey, always a victim of circumstance."
Heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
That's heartbreaking. So there you have it. That's the theatre ghost.
And he haunts the theatre.
He does, yes, to this day. He does.
You can hear 40% tax.
Well, see, when I worked at the King with Tom Urey, we had to go under the stage, right, to run round and come back up again. And he swore to me that he saw a fireman, an old fireman dressed in old clothes from maybe 100 years ago, standing under the stage at the King's, and you've got the Tron Theatre's very haunted. The yep. Citizens, of course, the Citizens is built in an old graveyard, isn't it?
Yeah. I saw the ghost. I saw the ghost in the Citizens. I was at drama school and we were doing a night shift, and basically when the show finished the Saturday night, every single seat had to be ripped out the auditorium. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning and this woman just walked right through the wall. I said, Scott. He went, no, I saw it as well.
Myself and my friend were rigging lights for a production in there was a studio theatre in one of the towers of Glasgow University, up the top, beautiful theatre. And two things occurred on the same night. We were rigging till Gordon's way in the morning. And the way we did it, because it was a studio theatre, so that with a balcony round, climb out in the grid and slide across, and we would just hang lanterns and focus them hanging above them. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing below the lanterns. And the first thing that happened was this thick shadow just crossed right across the stage floor, and the only two people there were us above the lights. So we went downstairs onto the floor, and then we heard footsteps running across the theatre floor where we were standing, thumping up the stairs, through a door, thumping along a corridor above, and then the dressing room door slamming.
I've never actually seen, but I felt something. I remember I was on holiday, it was a few years ago, down in Cornwall, and I went to do a pottery class, and I was at the pottery wheel. And next thing I feel, this figure come in behind me.
Of course, we have to mention, if we're talking about Glasgow, the Britannia Panopticon.
Oh,
that's
yes.
The world's oldest surviving music hall, which I think, now that is a spooky place if you've ever been in. And I also think it's worth to say, talking about Glasgow, the fact that it did used to get a bad reputation, and we have turned that round.
Yeah.
Knife crime and murder and all that, we really have.
When I was growing up in Milton, the Evening Times ran the headline that Milton was the European capital of car theft. And it was because Milton's shaped like a race track, and they just used to run all night long with these stolen yeah. cars, or really, really high end stolen cars. And then they put the speed bumps in, and that was it, kiboshed.
I remember being in the train, it was where the trains had compartments, rather than the open uh-huh. thing. And this guy launched himself at the glass between the corridor of the compartment with a huge razor mark down the side of his face. And then another guy Oofed. Came in, battered him, and then the two of them ran off chasing each other. And then the police came running down the carriage as well. And this wasn't an uncommon thing of a Friday, Saturday in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. Jane's right. I mean, these things still happen. They happen in any city. But Glasgow's a massively different place than it was in the mm-hmm. 70s.
In the 90s, well, if you had a Nova, it was a disaster. Everybody would steal your Nova. And Aileen, my friend, had one. And we were in town one night, and we came back to the car. And somebody hadn't thought this through. She'd, one of those grey and yellow locks, wheel locks, uh-huh. everybody used to put over their steering mm-hmm. wheel, and you'd have a key to open it. So somebody had come in with a saw, and they'd sawn it off her steering wheel. They'd obviously then realised to get this, to do that, instead of sort of, they couldn't drive the car. So we came back to the car, the steering wheel was in the seat. And another night, she left her car in town. And the next day she went back for it, and somebody had broken in, because I know it was so easy to get the lock out, slept in it. I'm not going to tell you what happened. Did the toilet on her seat, which was a dreadful, dreadful thing to do. But there was something else that they had done. It was over her windscreen.
No. Oh.
Wasn't that a terrible? Why would, I don't know if that'll ever make the cut, David, but I mean, that really was it. How low can you get? I mean, yeah, come
quite
on,
high.
It was a man. We knew it was a man.
That would be a great, but they still never go actually away in the car. That's a great advertisement for Nova.
They never get away with the car. Yeah, ejaculated in it, soiled themselves in it, and so the steering wheel was sawn off, but never ever actually stole it.
That's a television advert right there for the Nova.
I had a car broken into one time, and first of all, they broke the side panel window. And they stole something, and I got that fixed. Then they broke the back window and they stole the golf clubs. And then I went to get it replaced, and the guy said, we don't have that piece of glass in. Take this courtesy car. Went with the courtesy car back to the house. The house was broken into that weekend, and came back and stole the courtesy car.
Oh, Lord.
I had a car, and I lived in Shoes one time. I had this wee white 1.4 automatic mini metro, fast as anything. And it was parked outside the flat, blah, blah, blah. I was down one day. There's a brick through the back windscreen. It's like a Tuesday morning. this is it, like 9:30, there's a brick sitting in the back parcel shelf. I thought, oh, come on. I thought, I need to go to the bank and I'll deal with that when I come back. I went into the bank, I was in the bank for 5 minutes. By the time I came back, somebody passing, children I imagine, had sprayed crazy string in the back of the window.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
All the backs on top of the brick. Insult to
it would cheer it up a wee bit the way.
My car got broken into again. It was a smashed side window. And they stole my sound system. That was in the days when you bought your own sound system and stuck it, you know, put it in the car. They stole that, and then a fairly eclectic mix of cassettes of, I think it was late 80s, and they had various, you know, New Romantic stuff and some Clash and blah, blah, blah. The one cassette they stole was a cassette of collected Scarlatti harpsichord sonatas.
Oh, no.
Fantastic.
And maybe I tip my hat to them.
It's magic.
A question from the interweb for the three of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Meg from Orlando once again, actually.
G'day, Meg.
our joyous cobber, Meg from Orlando, Florida. In Still Game, was there, and if so, how much ad-libbing?
Absolutely none.
Yeah, I would say pretty much none as well. I don't mean to bust your bubble, Meg, but that's just how it was.
Well, that's it, Meg. What you're talking about is a team of hardened, dedicated professionals. And Paul and Mark and Jane.
all want to get up the road early. But no, I can't remember. Janie, no, nothing.
No, not really, was it? It was quite strict.
Wasn't it that it was strict? It was just that there was nothing that needed fixing.
Yes. I mean, no, I don't mean it's strict as in you'd get a punny or a big row. What's the question mark?
So the answer was...
Let David guess.
Well, no, I'd let Mark go for it.
The answer was 10% of 24... 1%. 14%. Well, the answer was 18,600.
The answer was 20,640.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's what I put, Dave. That's what I put.
Well, you've got.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I've got, aye. In a digital radio.
Oh, dear.
Was that Popmaster? I can't remember.
Right, so I believe that, like, once again, we've got a welcome and lauded guest in next week.
Yes.
Oh, we do.
And we're very excited about this, folks. We're delighted to announce that next week on the show, we're going to have the amazing Gavin Mitchell. He's going to be with us next week, and he's going to be telling us all... I know, Coxie.
I thought it was Peggy Mitchell.
No, different pub. So, no, we're going to have Gavin on the show, and he'll be filling us in about what he's been up to, and obviously telling us about his past as an actor, because he's had a fantastic career.
So, if any questions for Gavin, we could get him on Twitter, couldn't we?
Yes.
That'd be quite good.
Any questions for any of us?
I think we've heard all your stuff. We're quite bored with that now.
We have, really have.
Well, that's us, folks. Thank you for listening to Three Down, One Across. Sorry, I'm not recording this, but... Okay, everybody, that's us. Thanks very much for listening to Three Down, One Across with Jane McCarry, Paul Riley, Mark Cox and Dave Goodall. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to them, and we'll see you soon.
Bye! Three Down, One Across is an Osprey production. This episode was recorded remotely according to the law of the jungle and was produced at Sounds Move Facilities.